Father, I make no pretense at being anything at all today. I stand here, Lord, behind this pulpit as I've done hundreds of times. If anything good happens, you will make it happen. If anyone is blessed, it will be because of your word. It will not be because of Larry Hatfield. It will be because of you. I ask today in Jesus' name that our hearts may be in tune with you, all of us. That you'll prepare this people to receive the message that I believe, Lord, you've laid on my heart for today. I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you would bless with a spirit of peace and absence of confusion in this church today, Lord God, that the presence of the Holy Spirit would flow over us now. Prepare us. Do not let the enemy snatch the seed of the Word of God out of the soil into which it's planted. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that the glory of the Lord may rest upon this house, and that some wandering, wayward soul who came here today confused, lost, may come to you and find life, and that more abundantly. And it is in Jesus' name that we ask all these things. And everyone said, amen. Some time ago, a pastor stood before his congregation on Mother's Day and voiced what every person deals, or every pastor rather, deals with on Mother's Day. Here's what he said. I am aware that Mother's Day is a difficult time for some of you. Maybe you want to be a mother, but you can't be for some reason. Perhaps some of you have not had the best mother in the world. Some of you have had a mother who has died. Some of you mothers have lost a child to death. Some of you mothers feel the pain of a wayward child this morning. And some of you are flying solo as you work hard to nurture your child's faith. End of his quote. I want to share some thoughts with you today on this Mother's Day that I trust will be a blessing. I trust will speak to all of our hearts today. You know, challenge to be a mother. It is a challenge. A little girl was trying very hard to take care of her sick mother. Did everything in the world to make mom feel more comfortable in bed. And then she quietly slipped out into the kitchen. She had seen her mother make hot tea for her father when he was sick, so she set out to do the same thing for her ailing mom. And with cup and saucer in hand, she took the tea into the bedroom, and her mother was touched by this sweet act of this precious little girl. And the mother showered her daughter with praise and then said, I didn't know you could make tea. And the little girl beamed with pride as she told her mom how she made it. She explained, I boiled the water and tea leaves together just like you always do. Mother listened attentively while sipping the tea. And the girl continued her story by stating, but I couldn't find the little strainer thingy. Yeah. So I used the fly swatter. Mom almost spit the tea out. But the little girl wasn't through comforting her mother. She said, oh, but don't worry, Mommy. I used the old fly swatter so I wouldn't mess up the new one. They say that by the child reaches 18, A mother has had to handle some extra 18,000 hours of child-generated work. I think that's probably, maybe, a conservative figure. You know the old saying, mother's work is never done? Absolutely. It's never done. The junior high teacher, science teacher, lectured on the properties of magnets for an entire class. The next day, he gave the students a quiz. First question read like this. My name begins with an M, has six letters, and I pick things up. What am I? Do you know that half the kids in that class wrote for their answer? Mother. Tribute to mothers. We're here today to celebrate Mother's Day. Somebody said it takes about 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. Somebody doesn't know that once you're a mother, normal is history. Somebody said you learn how to be a mother by instinct. Somebody never took a three-year-old shopping. Somebody said being a mother is boring. Somebody never rode in a car driven by a teenager with a driver's permit. Somebody said if you're a good mother, your child will turn out good. Somebody must think a child comes with directions and a guarantee. Somebody said you can't love the second child as much as you love the first. Somebody doesn't have two children. Somebody said a mother can find all the answers to her child-rearing questions in the books. Somebody never had a child stuff beans up his nose or in his ears. Somebody said the hardest part of being a mother is labor and delivery. Somebody never watched her baby get on the bus for his first day of kindergarten or on a plane headed for military boot camp. Mother. Mothers are teachers. They're disciplinarians. Mothers are cleaning ladies. Some mothers are gardeners and mowers of lawns. One of the greatest educations that a husband can get, especially a husband who thinks that his wife does nothing but stay home and watch television all day long, is to swap places with her for a while. You'll be glad for your 8-to-5, sir. You'll be glad to get it back. A woman's work is truly never done. Mothers are nurses and doctors and psychologists and counselors and chauffeurs and coaches. Mothers are developers of personalities, molders of vocabularies, shapers of attitudes. And mothers are soft voices saying, I love you. And mothers are a link to God, a child's first impression of God's love. Mothers. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the poet, has said, men are what their mothers make them. And an old Spanish proverb says, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. I believe that one. I believe that one. Let's have Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. I want to look at something here today with you. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. Now her name was Jochebed. Hard to pronounce these Hebrew names. Her husband was Omron. Verse 2, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Before I go to verse 3, remember Those of you that are Bible students will remember that at this time there was a decree that had gone out that all of the Hebrew male children that were born were to be immediately put to death. But this mother didn't follow the law as it had been stated by Pharaoh. She hid Moses. Verse number 3, when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Verse 6, and when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. An amazing turn of events, I would say, that the high authority of Egyptian power would actually pay Moses' mother to raise him. It is an amazing example of God's sovereignty and God's humor. Yeah. I believe every once in a while, God just kind of likes to listen in to all the hot air that's going on, especially in the political world. And he likes to say, watch this, son. And he will do something so absolutely outlandish that we don't know it's happened and that it's over with. And after it's over with, we still don't know what happened. Ladies and gentlemen, God is still God. God does not have degrees of authority and power that fluctuate with the Wall Street figures. He's still Almighty God. He always has been, and He always will be. So we have Moses' mother being paid to nurse her child who was supposed to have died. The Jewish rabbis used to say that God could not be everywhere, so He made mothers. Now, that's a good saying. It's, of course, not theologically true, but it's good to express how, the importance of godly mothers. Now, it's true that we call God our Father, and so we should. But let's look at some things. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Paul writes, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. But God reveals Himself in other ways as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6. Nevertheless, God that comforted those, comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. I determined in my mind, and this is a side note, but I determined in my mind when I looked up this particular scripture, there are about five or six references in the New Testament that include the name Titus, and nearly every one of them have to do with something good about comforting. I am going to do a study on Titus. The church needs a bunch of guys named Titus in the church. He comforted them. Isaiah 51, verse 10 and 12 is another expression of God's comfort in other areas. Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that has made the depths of the sea a way for the ransomed to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, am he that comforteth thee. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? Isaiah 57, verse 18. I have seen his ways, God says. I will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. Speaking of God's chosen people. Jeremiah 31, verse 13 prophesies of a day that's to come. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And then here's one that's certainly applicable for a day like today. Isaiah 66, verse 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. What a powerful testimony that is to the value of godly mothers. Comforts. My neighbor right across the street, Evan and Mandy, they went to the hospital last Wednesday morning, I believe it was, for her to have a C-section. I came home the other day for lunch, or I came home, and when I walked in the door, I told my wife, I said, you know, it's amazing. They live right across our driveways, or, you know, right across from one another. And I said, it is absolutely amazing, but it seems to me like, if my imagination isn't playing tricks on me, that they are having a lot more company now than they've ever had. And, of course, that isn't hard to understand. Let me just tell you like this. When you have a baby, people don't come to see you no more. They may be in your house, sitting at your table, but they didn't come to see you, I promise. So my wife and I waited for several days before Helen even got to go over to greet the new little neighbor. And we saw our chance. The last car pulled out of the driveway, and we waited for a little bit, and we went across with a little gift and sat down in the living room, and of course, it's a woman thing, a mother thing. Mandy just bundled the little britches up and handed that baby to Helen. And Helen, thank God she didn't try to hand that baby to me. Babies weigh more than anything on this planet. And there's no good handle. You can't get a hold of. But mamas know how to do it. And Helen sat there, and we talked, and anybody that knows Evan and Mandy, they don't talk an awful lot. At least, you know, that's my impression of them. So we were sitting there, and I was trying to make small talk about who he looked like and how the grandparents are doing and all, you know, the stuff. And finally, I ran out of something to say, which is a rarity. And nobody was saying anything. Helen was sitting there holding the little baby out on her knees like this, the little head there, and the little thing was just sleeping so peaceful. And I looked, and there was a glow on Helen's face. And I looked over at Mandy, that new mom, with a glow on her face. Not a word was being spoken, but there was a volume of information passing from one another. It's amazing what God puts in the heart of a mother. I read of an old minister. This guy was in his 90th year, 90-year-old minister. He wrote something like this. He said, God came to me first in my mother. He could not have come to me in any other way to bless me, so he put his love and tenderness and purity and grace and sweetness into my mother, and she revealed it to me. After a while, I began to know God in other ways, learning to trust Him and to lean upon Him. Now in my old age, my mother has gone, but God remains. And what my mother was to me in my infancy, God is to me in my old age. God has a wonderful way of getting to the children, of revealing His love for them through godly mothers. And I can tell you this, Moses never could get away from the influence of his mother's love. He never got away from mother's influence. I learned to sing by being in the kitchen while mother did the dishes when I was too little to do them myself. I must be honest with you and tell you I didn't sing a great deal after that. While washing dishes anyway, I was too busy fighting with my older brother about whose turn it was. And I'll tell you this, anytime I got an opportunity to put leftovers up somewhere, I did it. That's one less dish to wash. But I think maybe the marathon, the granddaddy of them all, was the day that mother looked into the cabinet. And there was a 9-inch pie pan, and why we served black-eyed peas in a pie pan, I have no clue. Probably the only thing available. But mother opened the cabinet to get something, and there in the cabinet was a 9-inch pie pan with a little juice and one black-eyed pea. I'll not go into detail to tell you what happened after that, but it wasn't pretty. I learned to sing by listening to her sing the old songs of Zion. I like to think I'm a better person than if I'd have been watching Rosie O'Donnell or Oprah or any of the multitude of people. What's that bunch of gals that get together on ABC and sit there at the table and everybody's talking at once, nobody knows what's going on? Biggest bunch of stupid stuff I ever heard in my life. How can anybody, grown-ups, act so idiotic? I learned to sing. I learned to read the Bible. I learned to reverence the Bible because mother read the Bible to me. And when I got to where I could read, we read it together. I learned that. I learned to pray. Some of my prayers weren't real holy. Some of them, I prayed on the way home from church. You better believe I prayed. My mother would tell me when I would be cutting didos in the service, I'm going to get you when I get you home, son. And I'll promise you I would try everything in the books to get her mind going another direction. On the way home, I would ask, Mother, I'm just wondering, are we pre-trib or post-trib? Do you really? think the rapture of the church is that close at hand? She would patiently answer my questions. I thought, praise God, pull one over. She'd been a spiritual nudge. Sometimes she'd get to praising God on the way home. I got it made, mothers of the Spirit. Let me tell you something. She had this real good knack of getting in the flesh as quick as she got in the Spirit. Because as soon as we walked in the front door, son, I promise you something. Oh, you did, didn't you, mother? She said, I think we need to go in the bedroom here and take care of business. And we did. I would walk with a limp for 3 days. But I love her for every time she did that. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod will drive it far from him. See, my mother literally believed the Bible. She didn't spare the rod. She used the rod. And I'm glad she did. I had to have so many whippings when I was growing up. Somebody said they had so many whippings when they was growing up, their mother put a paddle in there on the wall with the inscription, I need thee every hour. Whippings was just like a part of the day. You know, you have breakfast, lunch, supper, whipping. But I've never gotten away from mother's prayers. I never got away from her tears. But I would hear her say, God, save my boys. God, save my boys. Don't let my boys go to hell, Lord. Save them. Don't let them die without you, Jesus. I love her for that. Moses never got away from the influence of his mother's love. We want to look at Hebrews now, chapter 11, verse 23, and we'll see about this. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. It's difficult, if not downright impossible, to completely forget the love of God as portrayed by a mother's love. The name Moses, or Moshe in the Hebrew, means rescued or drawn out. In this case, he was literally pulled out of the water. But mothers also seem to have a knack of pulling children out of the fire. First Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 8 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. In just a moment, I'm going to show you a little video clip that illustrates mother's love in a way that is absolutely awesome. Heather, you can go ahead and begin to prepare that. But let me talk about it just for a moment. God sometimes uses the animal kingdom to convey a message to His highest creation, human beings. In Hosea 13:8, God, speaking of His enemies, says, I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps. If a mama bear has little cubbies anywhere nearby, it's best for you to be somewhere else. Go ahead and dim the lights and play the clip. I don't know about you, but there have been times I've run out of places to run. I had no more options. I was toast. I was done for. And the roaring lion, Satan, as a roaring lion, was seeking to devour me. And you know, another thing that popped out of in this little video clip that really touches my heart. The little bear began to do the bear thing. All the while thought that big old cougar turned tail and ran because of his noise. Not knowing that right behind him was mama. And I want to tell you something. All the roaring that you and I can do won't faze Satan one little bit. But I want to tell you what you sick Jesus on him. You say, Lord, come to my rescue. He won't mess with Jesus Christ. He never has and he never will. He's a defeated foe. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to bow this morning. Sure, could we come to the keyboard, please? Oh, Holy Spirit of God. Lord, there are people in this very room today, dear God, that they've just about run out of places to go and run out of options. They've tried this and they've tried that and they've tried the other, but none of it has worked. God, today they realize they need you and they just want to come to you, Lord. They want to put their faith and trust in you. They want to bow the knee before you, Lord, and just accept you into their heart. Now, Lord God, will you give them grace to do just that? Lord, some of them sitting right here in this room, God, have sat through service after service, Sunday after Sunday, Lord, and you've dealt with them. The Holy Ghost conviction was upon their hearts. And they wanted to, oh, they wanted to, but they weighed every option they thought and decided that somebody might make fun of them. Or what would somebody else think, or what would... So many things that they may have thought. I don't know what all goes on in the mind. But they turned and walked away instead of bowing the knee. Almighty God, I pray today, Lord, that they won't turn and walk away. Not this day. That you will speak to their hearts, Lord God. Draw them in. Oh Lord, you're calling to them. The enemy would like to totally destroy their lives, ruin them in this life, and send them into a Christless eternity in the lake of fire. But oh God, you have come to seek and to save that which is lost. And you're dealing with them now. Pray in Jesus' name they will respond to you, Lord. In the name of the Son of God, they'll respond to you. Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just for a brief moment. It's prayer time. I want to encourage you, whether you could get a place around the altar or not, I'd like to encourage you before you leave to spend some time in prayer. But before we all come to today, God bless, some are already coming to the altar. Let me just ask that little cubby bear, is that where you are today? Out on a limb? You've done everything you know to do and none of it's worked. You just feel like I don't have any place else I can go. And just when you thought it had gotten the absolute worst it could get, all of a sudden, the bottom caved in. The bottom fell out of everything. And it did get worse. I want to tell you, God loves you today. You're not here by accident. It is no accident that the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart right now. You are just a very few feet away from an altar prayer. Don't let the devil talk you out of it this time. Come to the altar to pray and seek the Lord and just talk to God and ask Him to touch your life in ways that you've never been touched before. Open your heart and accept Him into your heart. Do it today. Do it without fail. I would ask everyone to stand. It's prayer time. You're coming to give your heart to the Lord. God bless you. People will be praying with you. Others will be praying. It's prayer time. Let's come and pray. Let's pray before we leave this building today. God love you. God bless you.